So we're going to start this podcast, which is fun because you got the first pick of the names.
I have the worst luck, truly.
No, you don't. You've won twice already. You've won the past two name
points.
You got to Anchor Ocean, Maine, and you're the first person to do the solo podcast with me.
I mean, I'm not super mad about it. I'm cool with it. It's fine.
That's good. But yeah, which is great because you're one of the driving forces / creators of this podcast.
That's true.
So this is all 50% your fault for this whole podcast.
I'm sorry to all.
No, you're not. Don't be
not
sorry.
Really.
You have nothing to be sorry about. So who do you think hates doing this podcast the most?
Jen, for sure. And it was like mostly her idea.
Why Jen, you think? I don't know. Why do you think she hates about it so much?
Or Leslie. But they both seem like we have to like pull them in to get them to even come into this
room. So where do you rank on the enjoyment to hatred?
I feel like me and Sean might be tied for a second.
Really?
Yeah. Just at the least. We don't fully enjoy it, but...
So you're not enthusiastic about doing a podcast?
No, I like it. I think it brings us together on Fridays. It helps with office morale.
Helps with morale? Okay, great. I was listening to our previous podcast of ours, and this thing had just stuck with me because it was like perfect. But when we talked about who, if someone's going to play us in the MCTV show, and you said Aubrey Plaza as April Ludgate from Parks and Rec, it was like, that is perfect. And I thought about more and more and more, and I was like, holy crap, that's perfect because it fits you to a T.
It does.
Because you're very deadpan. You're very dry.
I try not to be.
I don't know, how much did you watch the show Parks and Rec?
I'm not like through and through, but I've seen
like
a decent amount.
Did you ever see your parents?
No, I don't think so.
All right, because her parents are very much your parents.
That's even
which
weirder.
Makes them better. Her parents are like super enthusiastic,
oh my
peppy.
God. That's my mom.
So which we'll get into more about your mom in a few as well. This almost feels like an extension of your review from a few weeks ago, doesn't it?
That and my like initial interview because we're in this room.
Which I was going to get into, which we are sitting in Studio B where you got to sit down with Sean and I and do your job interview here. So take us back to that job interview.
I don't know. I was a little intimidated by like coming into the studio with the lights dead on me, but it wasn't bad.
We were nice enough.
You guys are hard to read, though. I had no... I was like, that's a 50-50 shot.
Well, that's the whole point.
I know, but it's like, usually you get a little bit of inkling.
You don't smile. It's like teachers who don't smile till Christmas. It was the weirdest, wackiest hiring process I've ever been a part of.
Oh, God.
Because... Have we told you the whole story of what occurred? Throughout that whole saga?
The other guy that called in after? Yeah, I heard that part.
There was, well, originally, we had someone apply. The first person applied, it was like, this person would potentially be really good. Mm-hmm. So we'd call them for an interview, and the next day they're like, I decided I'm not ready to relocate. Perfect, great. And so then we had the murderer.
Oh, yeah.
So we had someone else call in for, we had someone else apply, and this guy had shouldn't say anything, had a really great resume. And the day before they were scheduled to be interviewed, they called me and told me that they had been convicted of, they were convicted murder. They murdered someone. They were like 18 years old, and they had done their time. And I felt really bad for this person, but
I feel bad for that story.
And so we were at kind of a weird point where it was like, what the heck is going to happen here?
I mean, you're not really going to get Corey'd.
Well, and what made even better was that I ran into your mom that night. And
at
I was like,
event.
Yeah, an event. And she was, and so she was like, oh, my daughter might be interested in this job. And I was like,
great.
Is she a convicted murderer?
Does she have any felonies?
Do you have any? Yeah, it was like the weirdest day. So earlier in the day, I had been told that a candidate or a strong candidate was a convicted murderer. And then you fell into our lap that night. Has this job been what you expected? What do you think is, like if you were going into it and it being where you are now, even though you've only been here for a few months?
Yes and more, I think, because
really, more.
I guess just like this podcast and everything, I didn't think that this would be a possibility.
Well, you created this possibility.
Well, I didn't realize how like easy it is to create the other opportunities. Like you said, like we did this. This was kind of just an idea. Mm-hmm. And then I definitely didn't think anchoring on Ocean and Main would be a thing, but that was cool. Like I said, it's what I kind of expected, which I didn't really know what to expect, but and more, which is cool. I like it better that I get to do things that I wasn't planning on. It's fun.
We try we try to keep it interesting.
Yeah, keep me on my toes.
Going back to before that, we had actually come across each other's paths previously.
We had?
Yeah, you and I had.
At a, whatchamacallit, chamber event thing?
Yes, we did.
No way.
Yes, we did.
I don't remember.
Because right before you started, I had a meeting with the chamber person, and I was like, oh, yeah, I'm hiring so-and-so. And they're like, yeah, they were at that event you were at.
Which one was it?
It was an event at the South Shore Training Center. It was like an October evening event.
Is it down that road that TIC is?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yep. I remember that.
So you were there, and I was there. And little did we know, months
That's
later,
so weird.
We'd be doing a podcast together.
Who knew?
Like
my mom dragged me to so many of those.
So let's talk about your mom, the toothbrush lady, as she's known
she
as.
She is the toothbrush lady.
Because everyone who's involved in business on the South Shore or involved the chamber in some way knows the toothbrush lady.
She started as a dental assistant, and then she changed jobs and went as like a marketing person in a dental office, which I never thought was a thing either. And so she goes around and hands out these toothbrushes with their logo and everything on it, and everyone knows her as a toothbrush lady. She's like, even on our street she is, because on Halloween she'd hand you like a giant pixie stick and a toothbrush with it, because God knows you need it after that. She's nuts. Yeah, she makes these tooth cookies. They literally look like a little tooth with a
stick. I've had a tooth cookie.
I'm sure you have.
She came in, I think, like a few weeks after you started here with the whole basket of tooth cookies.
My dog's eating a lot of those.
Your dog's eating a lot.
Not good. But yeah.
So do you take after your mom or your dad?
Because
I've met your dad too.
Yeah.
We had the whole McDonald family at a South Shore Chamber event, which was pretty funny.
I guess my more outgoing side is definitely from my mom, but my monotone, like, McDonald side, we call it.
See, I only know monotone, Kayla. We only know monotone. Okay, I think you're starting to open up a little bit here.
A little bit.
I think we only experienced monotone Kayla here. What do we need to get outgoing, Kayla?
I don't know. Beer Fridays, no.
Trust me, we're in a school, so.
No. I guess I'm more like my dad.
Okay.
He's very, like, reserved. And
so, like, 6 months from now, you're going to be, like, off the wall? Like,
you never know.
We won't be able to shut you up?
Yeah.
That's kind of what happens here, is everybody comes in really quiet. And then after 6 months,
well, it's like, awkward anyway, no matter where you go.
Yeah.
It's just a new start.
It's awkward in, A, it's a brand new position, so it was like...
So I didn't know what to expect at all.
And it was something new for me. Mm-hmm. And you came into a staff of loud people. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're all pretty loud.
Yeah.
So you're like, what are these people? These people are nuts. So who is Kayla?
That's a loaded question.
No kidding. It's a loaded question. That's why I asked it. Who is the infamous Kayla now?
I don't know how to answer that.
You don't know? All right. You don't know how to answer? Okay.
I mean...
I'm still trying to figure that out. You're still trying? You're from the South Shore.
Yeah.
You're South Shore born and raised. I'm just pulling the things I know about you somewhat.
Pembroke born and raised. I lived in Randolph until I was 5, and then we moved here. Now we're selling our house again, so that'll be a whole other process.
You went to NDA.
I did. I started in Pembroke, like, elementary schools, and then my dad really wanted me to go to NDA, so he pulled me out of there and sent me to Holy Family in Rockland.
You went to Holy Family too?
Yep.
Oh, you got the double whammy.
He needed the guarantee that I would get in the NDA.
That's hilarious.
With another private school. And I cried for months that I had to transfer and was the new girl. But I got used to it and it was fun after that.
Did you have like this super religious upbringing?
Not at all. I don't really care for that much
organized
of religion. Yeah, I don't want to get that far into it, but
no, we don't have to.
No,
we're in a we'll school. We're going to keep the separation of church and state here.
My parents a little bit are more than me, but I think honestly, going to private school and hearing everything kind of just pushed
I wasn't sure if it was like, yeah, I was thinking about being a nun at some point.
No, not at all.
Are you going to join them?
It was just like, I think my dad just like liked the idea of NDA and like the all girl. He really tried to keep me away from boys, the all girl school and everything. I don't know.
Keep you away from boys.
He just wanted me to keep me innocent for as long
as I
could.
I think that's every dad's.
Yeah, but he concept. Really did it successfully.
So he's sending you to an all girls high school. Yes. You went to Quinnipiac, which is funny because you and Jen graduated, but the same
year. Time. And we were both in communications, obviously, which is weird.
And it was really funny because, like, when I got your resume, I was like, Jen, do you know this person? Mm-hmm. And she was like, no. And then she's like, let me ask someone. Yeah. And so, like, I guess, so was it, you're friends with, like, a friend of hers?
Someone that I went to NDA with that also lives in Pembroke is good friends with Jen.
Yeah. She was like,
and
I only,
also went to Quinnipiac.
It was funny because she's like, I only know her as Kayla Mack.
Yeah, that's how everyone usually knows me.
So it was like really like, you guys don't know each other?
It's really weird that we didn't.
And Quinnipiac's not like this huge school either.
Not really, and definitely not communications either. And Jen used to work like the checkout thing for all the like cameras and everything at when you're a film student, you have to do that. And I definitely did that a bunch
in
of times.
In your past, definitely have crossed.
I'm sure I got equipment from her a bunch of times.
You probably drank at the same New Haven bars.
Oh, yep. Toads and Auntie's every Friday.
So what did you do before you got here?
Like work-wise?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. It's a loaded, these are all loaded questions there, kiddo.
I feel like I've talked about it before, but I started at Channel 7 when I got out of, when I got out of school. And then was laid off then after their disaffiliation.
Yeah.
And then I had a little bit of a downtime in between that and this textbook publishing company. Mm-hmm. And that was just brutal. I was literally like watching people do physics problems in a video and had to make sure that the captions matched like what the person was saying. I was like, this is torture.
That sounds horrible.
So I needed to get out of there, and I was applying to a bunch of places, and then my mom ran into you, and here I am.
Perfect timing. Perfect timing. How did you get into this field? I'm always interested about how people, what got them into the field that they're in. Like, was there like a moment, or it was like, when you're 3 years old, like, this is what I want to do when I grow up.
Yeah. When I was little, I wanted to be a veterinarian, but then I realized I don't do well with blood and all that kind of stuff. I usually faint or pass out. And I guess just being, I kind of went into Quinnipiac undecided because I had no idea what I wanted to do.
Of course.
And then just kind of process of elimination of what I definitely didn't want to do kind of led me just communications direction. And then film, I went into film after I decided on communications, and it was just like, I knew it wasn't the lifestyle that I was cut out for, it because they were like really preparing you for like 14-hour filming days and all that stuff. And I was like, I can't do this. Like, 6 months working and 6 months off. I'm like, I can't. That's just not the lifestyle I don't think I'm cut out for.
Yeah.
And so I got out of that and went to media studies and left it broad and kind of focused on a lot of sports media, weirdly. But
really?
I haven't jumped into that yet.
You're a big sports fan?
Kind of. Yes and no. Depends on the sport.
What's your favorite sports?
To watch, hockey and football, probably. Mm-hmm. To play, I used to play soccer a lot when I was like younger, but it's always like a fun pickup.
Okay. Some interesting things I know, or I think I know about you. You probably have the most tattoos of anyone on the staff.
Yeah, but that's not very hard to do, I don't think.
Well, I think Leslie has one at least.
Yeah, I've seen one. I have 5 as of now.
As of now?
Yeah.
So you're
adding. Talk to me in like a year.
So you're adding.
Yeah. I really enjoy, it's not an enjoyable process, but I like the look of tattoos as much as my mom and dad hate them so much.
Is this a thing of rebellion?
No, I just like them, and I like the meanings behind them always. Like, all of mine have, one of them doesn't, but
one of them
I was just rebellious in school. And
do we want to know what it is?
Maybe a few drinks in. It's just my lucky number and my birthday. It's on the inside of my lip.
Oh.
It actually didn't hurt at all.
That sounds painful.
Yeah. It didn't. It was fine. But that was.
So you're going to be adding.
I think
Do you know what you're going to be adding? And
My next one is I'm gonna try to print my dog's paw print on a, like, just paint her paw and put it on a paper and get that tattooed on me somewhere, but I haven't decided where.
What kind of dog do you have?
She's a St. Bernard Golden Retriever mix. She's huge.
She's
awesome.
So I've heard this story, and I think it's a great story, but I think it should be out there for public consumption.
Oh boy.
Do you know what it is?
No.
I think it's a great, I think it's an awesome
story. My best story.
Your Taylor Swift story.
Oh God, I knew what that was gonna
why,
be.
Why? What else were you expecting?
No, I don't, that was kind of what I was thinking.
Tell the Taylor Swift story.
It's a long story.
This is a podcast.
I
you
know.
Have time.
Do you have an hour? No.
Yeah, we do. I think we checked in the car. We have 285 minutes.
Okay.
So
let's
you do
go.
The math. Right, go.
So my cousin, it was her 16th birthday, like 2 years ago, and she really is obsessed with Taylor Swift. Every inch of her wall is a cutout from a magazine of Taylor Swift. Like, you can't see her wall paintings or whatever. And so for her 16th birthday, her mom decided to take her on a trip to Nashville to go to Taylor Swift concert, which is ridiculous for a 16-year-old, but she did it anyway. And I just wanted to go along for the ride because I've always wanted to go to Nashville. And my mom was like, oh, look, I just bought you these tickets to go with them as your graduation gift. And I was like, awesome, let's go. Didn't really care to go to the concert. I'm not a big Taylor Swift fan, so my aunt buys me tickets the day of the concert. I am forced to go and wear this obnoxious outfit that my cousin made. It's like the cheerleading outfit from the Shake It Off video. And she's like hole punched and strung lights, 250 lights in this little outfit. And I was glowing. Like there was a battery pack on it and I shut it off and I wouldn't turn it on until she yelled at me. It was so embarrassing. So I was like, the only way you're going to get me to wear this is if I get a few drinks. And I went to the Jack Daniels bar at the stadium and I was like, hook me up. Like, I can't be in this outfit for much longer. Sober, but so we're glowing in the back. Like, I guess Taylor Swift's parents like to go around to all the obnoxious people like we were and pick out the best costumes, and you get to go backstage if you are that obnoxious person. So we're like hanging out. My cousin's crying because she saw Taylor Swift's dad walking by, and
so she knew who it was too, right?
Yeah, she knew who the parents were, obviously, because she's crazy. So I'm standing at the end of the aisle, like pretty close to the stage. We were like kind of on the side, and I get a tap on the shoulder, and it's just some lady. And I tried to let her go. I thought she wanted to go past me, and she's like, do you guys want to meet Taylor? And I look over and my cousin's on the ground bawling her eyes out. And then I was like, oh, this must mean something. She's like, my aunt was like, it's Taylor Swift's mom, oh my God. And I was like, oh, nice to meet you. But I didn't like think about it that I'm in this costume too, looking like a crazy person. So they thought I was just as big a fan as she was. So she thought that I was going to be excited about that. And I was like, cool.
Or did you care?
Yeah. And I was just like sipping on my drink. Like, hanging out and
trying to hold it together.
My cousin was bawling on the ground, like dragging Taylor Swift's mom down to the ground. They're like trying to hug her and she's just like, all right, get away from me. So they put a wristband on you and give you a ticket and it tells you where to go, and you go backstage and you walk down this aisle of all of these huge glass cases of everything that Taylor Swift has ever worn to any concert and on the red carpets and everything. And it's like a little lounge, and you just wait with like everyone else that got picked, and she comes in, they're like, you get 5 minutes, you can't use your own phone, and we take the pictures on your phone. And I was like, what if I look like crap in this? Like, yeah. What if these are ridiculous pictures? So she goes around to like each group of people and chats with everyone, and I had to like talk my cousin down. I was like, if you cry in her face, she's gonna not want to talk to you. Like, you gotta
she's
be cool.
Used to at this point.
Yeah,
mean,
I know.
Your cousin's probably the only one that wasn't holding it together.
No, she wasn't. Everyone else was crying, kind of. But I was like, she was sobbing when we found out. So I was like, you can't act like that. You're gonna scare her away. Like, nobody wants to see that. So I talked her down. She was kind of cool. She teared up a little bit when she came, and my cousin has a necklace that says Swiftie. I guess that's what her fans are called, Swifties. So Taylor Swift touched her necklace and was like, oh, I love that. And she teared up and I could see it going on. I was like, calm it down. Like, don't lose it right now. And so we're just kind of chatted. I don't really remember what we talked about. Again, I was drinking a lot. And my cousin wanted a unique picture for like social media and everything. She has a fan account, so it needed to go on there. And we were cheerleaders, so we were like, oh, we can do like a cheerleading stunt or something, but obviously that's not allowed to put Taylor Swift in the air.
It'd be a little tough.
So we did a 3-person piggyback ride, and Taylor Swift just jumped on my back. I was not even ready for it. She weighs like maybe 80 pounds. Like, she's so tiny, and except she's super tall. And then my cousin was like leaning on her, but standing on a stool behind her, so it looked like she was on her. But it was the weirdest thing ever. And then I posted the picture the next morning on social media, and my phone blew up, and everyone was texting me like, is this real? Who are you? Like, you don't even like Taylor Swift. What are you doing? But it was a story for the books. I think I peaked at that point. Really go down from there.
Oh, come on. That is a great story, though.
It is a great story.
Weren't you a cheerleader, too?
I was.
Let's see, what else did I want to get into here on this podcast? We're on the home stretch, so you've made it so far.
I've taken up a lot of time.
This is great, though. You're setting the bar high for everyone else.
True. No one can top my Taylor Swift story.
No, but you're setting a really high standard. You know? If someone asked you what you do here, what would you tell them?
My job title, probably. Membership and outreach.
But more than that. Well, like, someone was like, what does that mean?
I try to get some engagement through social media, mm-hmm. and hopefully engage the community. That's my main focus right now, is mm-hmm. trying to bring everyone in and get them to realize that this is a huge thing that they can utilize. That's kind of what I'm really focusing on right now.
You've been here for a bit. What do you think of this place? What do you think of this organization as a whole?
I love it. I think it's such a cool thing that...
You love it?
Well, like, the whole idea of it, I mean, if I knew that this existed elsewhere, like, this kind of facility for anyone in the town to use, in Pembroke, it would have been awesome. Or, like, the school program would have been better. Maybe I would have known what I wanted to do when I went to college mm-hmm. if I had tried this out. And
yeah.
I just think it's such a cool, I don't know. Okay. Service, I guess.
You deal with aspects of the community and members. What's your take on that? Has it been interesting?
I mean, everyone's interesting.
Everyone's interesting?
Yeah.
Some good people watching, I guess you'd say?
Yeah. People watching is always fun.
Okay.
But everyone's been awesome. I haven't had any issues yet, like Not I've yet. Heard in the past.
Just wait. Yeah. Just wait. So you're holding a book in your hand.
Mm-hmm. My favorite book.
Now, it's a tradition. Now, for those that have listened to the other podcast, know it's a tradition where Kayla kind of reads a passage from this book. Do we want to name the title of it?
I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't.
No, we shouldn't. But
it's a great book.
Why is it a great book?
It just has great quotes. Like, even I was saying before we started, the titles of all of the chapters are awesome. Playtime is over, kid. That's one of the titles. I figured you were going to kick me out, too. Like, just bizarre.
Whoever wrote that had a really rough life.
Definitely, for sure.
Hopefully it's made up. I'm like hopeful that it's all like fabricated, made up stuff.
It doesn't seem like
because it. If it's true, then part of me's gonna feel really bad making fun of it. So as we wrap up, do you have a passage? Because you're almost at the end of finding good passages from this book. You're going to have to switch to another book.
I'm running out. The other one's great, too.
And as we were saying earlier, you're going to have to read the other one in your...
My monotone voice.
Without the dramatics.
I don't know if this is a good one.
All right. Well, try it.
I guess. I believe in you. I am so confused about where I am going. All I know is where I've been. I'm so scared, and I have no one to talk to but myself, and I hide my feelings in my music.
That's a great way to end this podcast.
It is. So.